The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O
Lord. When Jesus had come into the temple area, the chief priests and the elders of the people approached him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them in reply, "I shall ask you one question. If you answer it for me, then I shall tell you by what authority I do these things. Where was John the Baptist's baptism from? Was it of heavenly or of human origin?" They discussed this among themselves and said, "If we say of heavenly origin, he'll say to us, 'Then why didn't you believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we fear the crowd, for they all regard John as a prophet." So they said to Jesus in reply, "We don't know." Jesus himself said to them, "Then neither shall I tell you by what authority I do these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Today is the last day of the first part of Advent. Tomorrow we begin an octave in immediate preparation for Christmas. Each day we will hear one of the famous O antiphons that were developed into the great hymn, O Come Emmanuel, the various titles that we'll be able to contemplate about the Lord whom we're preparing to embrace. But today we receive something very important in the readings. As we're on the lips of this, we've got this mysterious utterance of the pagan diviner Balaam, who, when bribed by the king of Moab 1300 years before Christ would come, at the time of Moses and Joshua, in other words, bribed by the king of the Moabites in order to try to curse Israel, because that was a way they thought that they would be able to triumph over Israel. Four times Balaam tried to give a malediction, and four times when he opened up his mouth, instead came out a blessing. And we see that blessing, which helps us to prepare for the octave tomorrow. "I see him, though not now. I behold him, though not near. A star shall advance from Jacob, and a staff, that staff of the Good Shepherd, shall rise from Israel." Even though he wanted to curse Israel, he gave a blessing, and the blessing was precisely that the Messiah would come. There's something far more important than that small little prophecy that gets us starting to choke up with anticipation for Christmas. But it gets to a huge contrast between the first reading in the Gospel and what it says to us about Advent prophecy, how we're supposed to receive God's Word and how we're supposed to share God's Word. Balaam, no matter how hard he tried, couldn't help but acknowledge and announce the light when it came. Even though we started off in a very bad place, taking that bribe to give a curse, he couldn't help but tell the truth. In the Gospel, we see something totally different. We see the chief priests and the elders, who started off in a very good place. They were breastfed on the Word of God. They regularly worshiped the Lord in the temple. But even though they started there, when they approached Jesus, they didn't want to accept the light. They didn't want to accept the truth. Either about Jesus, the fulfillment of all those Old Testament messianic prophecies, or even about John the Baptist. Because they weren't interested in prophecy. Pope Francis said this morning in his homily in the Vatican that we either accept prophecy or we begin to get involved and concerned primarily about power. if we don't think that the Lord's word is always going to be changing us, then we seek to be in control. And that's precisely what happened with these chief priests and the Pharisees. They didn't want to acknowledge that John the Baptist might be telling the truth, and they too needed to repent. They too needed to make straight the paths. Instead, not wanting to accept John or anything Jesus was saying, they just came up and said, "By what authority are you doing this? You don't have our authority. Who the heck do you think you are? We're the ones who need to sanction you." Pope Francis says, when we're not attentive to the Word of God, it becomes a thing of power. And for priests and clergy, a thing of clericalism, where we're no longer hearing the Word of God or announcing it, but we're just concerned with who's in charge here on earth. But that same cancer can happen to all of us. As we go through Advent and through the entire advent of human life as we await Jesus' second coming, we need to ask, do we accept prophecy and do we become prophets, or do we, like these chief priests and Pharisees, think it's all about power? You know, it was interesting, yesterday Pope Francis gave another interview. This was with a guy who could actually understand him and did a good job on Tornielli, who's one of the big Vaticanista reporters. But he asked him a question that so many, frankly, women religious who aren't living their vocation well because they think it's about power, he asked him specifically about women's ordination, and he said, "Impossible. We need to value women, not to clericalize women." Because this whole push to women's ordination is not a push to be crucified with Jesus. This is a push that's where all the powerful decisions are made. And therefore, if women are ever going to be equal, they have to be clergy, because otherwise, if they're not calling the shots, the guys are just going to be constantly keeping them in the cave like the old cavemen. Pope Francis says that isn't our logic. We too can be infected by this clericalism of the laity, that we think that it's all about who's in charge, who's leading this committee, who's the boss with this particular activity or anything else, whereas it's always about how God is giving us His Word. So the first thing we have to ask is, are we attentive to the Word of God? Do we say, in the words of our responsorial psalm, screaming out with every cell of our body, "Teach me your ways, O Lord. Show me your path so that I may walk in them"? Or do we think, same old, we don't really need it? Don't really need it. Who's calling the shots? Do I like him? Do I like his organizational style or her organizational style, whatever else? First begins with our openness to the Word of God. Like Balaam, even if we might not have started in the right place, do we acknowledge it when it comes? And the second is that we've got to be willing to announce it. Pope Francis this morning described that there are three times of the prophet. To understand what a prophet does, it's a very clear explanation. Past, present, and future. Prophet first is one who guards the sacred living memory. Doesn't forget what the Lord has done in the past or said in the past. It's the first thing that's necessary. Like Mary, treasured everything in her heart and then was able to blow forth her famous Magnificat. So the first thing of a prophet is to guard and to treasure, to hold on to what God has given. The second, he says, it's to contemplate the present, especially to contemplate the circumstances of the ones to whom you're going to bring that living memory so that they're able to understand it. And then third, as you apply that living memory to the present, it's precisely to help give courage to head forward in the future on that path indicated by that living memory. Three moments. So if we're going to first be capable of being prophets, we need to have that treasured memory within. Treasured memory. We have to know what the Lord has said, and we really have to love it. And then second, we really have to love other people, because we'll be a terrible prophet if we just use the word of God as a sword, not thinking that this person might be wounded at this time and might not be able to handle the entire gospel, so we have to go piece by piece to always contemplate the people who need it, to see what their real wounds are, as Pope Francis would say, rather than just think that we already know what all their deep wounds are before we even open up our mouth. And then third, the Word of God is always to guide us. Prophecy is always to totally transform our life, to change us for the better. If we're ever going to be capable of announcing it to others, we first need to receive that Word of God and let it transform us. Three moments: treasuring the past, contemplating the present, walking in the Word in the future. There's a famous scene in the time of Moses and Joshua, where Joshua saw a bunch of people prophesying who were not part of the number of those who were supposed to be the official prophets. He went up to complain to Moses, and Moses' response was, "Would that all God's people were prophets! Would that everybody was treasuring the Word of God, giving it to others as light for the present so that they'll be able to walk confidently in the future. Would that all God's people..." This isn't supposed to be a caste, a small limited clique, an elite club of those who have learned things and now pass it on and get paid for it. This is supposed to be something that Moses wanted everybody to be able to do. Well, guess what? When Jesus finally came, that's precisely what he did. He made us all prophets. By our baptism, we share in his prophecy. By our confirmation, we have been strengthened by the Holy Spirit to truly become the prophets of the world. The question for us is, are we a good prophet or a bad prophet? Are we a true prophet or a false prophet? Not whether we're a prophet at all. Are we a prophet who's been on vacation from the time that we were confirmed, on the sidelines, rather than out there really trying to do these three moments of prophecy? As we get close to Christmas, it's key for all of us to recognize that the Lord wants us to announce Him. You know, we're in a situation where even in Catholic families, even with people who come to Mass on Sunday, that at a practical level, if we had somebody who knew nothing about Christianity following them around, they would say that the most important part of the season is exchanging presents. Many of us structure, I'm dealing it even with my own family, trying to get my younger sister, who always prioritizes Christmas presents for the kids, even above getting together as a family for Mass, trying to get her to start to reprioritize. We've got a lot of good people who are in those circumstances. We need to be able, prophetically, by our actions and by our lips, to say it's fundamentally about Jesus. I don't care if I receive one thing, one Christmas card, because the gift of Jesus is clearly coming to me. We've got to be willing to announce that God has come with us, not just to have a birthday party, but to be with us always. That's the living memory that we carry. Do this in memory of me. But then the second thing that's really important is to recognize that the Lord always wants to do that conversion we see in Balaam. He did it in Bethlehem. This poor little boy put in an ancient animal dish becomes the King of Kings. And he did it most famously on the cross. There was no greater curse. It was even said, "Cursed be the one who dies on the cross." The chief priests and the Pharisees who were questioning Jesus, who didn't want to accept his authority, thought that this was it, the greatest malediction of all. And instead, we see precisely what God did. God transformed it into the greatest blessing of all. How did you bless yourself at the beginning of Mass today? With this sign of the cross. How will God bless you at the end of Mass today? through this very sign of the cross, the Lord wants to transform the evil of the world into good. He wants to draw good totally out of it, which is always His MO. Our task, first as disciples, is to receive those prophetic actions and words and to become prophets, to become apostles, helping everybody to treasure the living memory of this, apply it to their present circumstances, to give them courage to walk with us all the way to the fulfillment of these prophetic promises. Teach me your ways, O Lord. The Lord has taught us His ways this morning. We receive the help He's about to give us through the miracle of His body and blood, the continual Bethlehem, so that we might walk in those ways with others all the way home. Praise be Jesus Christ.